Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my goodness!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
And shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is Thursday, September 13th. You can hate me now, but every day we cock-a-doodle do it because this is Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my friend, the man, the king, El Rey de Fantasía, FSWA Hall of Famer, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you doing on a Thursday? Week 2 kicks off tonight.
Getting ready for another week 2. My lineup ranks are up on rotoexperts.com and the in-season exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter the king at checkout for a special discount. We got Frankie. Too, including finalist Brandon Murchison.
Oh, that's awesome. Absolutely. Okay. Make sure you go ahead and cop that in-season fantasy package. We're going to be talking about Scott's rankings a little bit later on in the show. Okay. It is a Thursday, so we'll talk about the rankings, some of the guys that Scott likes above the industry, some of the guys that Scott thinks is going to defecate the mattress a little bit this week, who he thinks are fugazis, guys you need to forget about for week 2. But Scott, let's kick it off with news and notes. Okay. I want to start with some quarterback decisions that were made yesterday. First of all, we thought this was going to be the case. It is, in fact, going to be Josh Allen under center for the Buffalo Bills against the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, listen, there's a number of reasons why this may have happened. First of all, Nate Peterman has post-traumatic stress syndrome from the last time he faced the Chargers. If you remember, he threw 5 picks in 1/2 against the Chargers last time. It's going to be Josh Allen. You and I were worried about throwing him to the wolves behind that offensive line. There's going to be no Joey Bosa for the Chargers. He's out and definitely going to see a kind of specialist about that foot. But what do you think happens here with Josh Allen against the Chargers? I mean, Melvin Ingram's still going to be bearing down his throat.
Yeah, he is, but I think this puts some more spark in the offense. You know, the guy is not afraid to, you know, throw a deep ball. He can make plays. He's going to be erratic. He's going to be up and down, but he'll move the offense with more respectability for Nate Peterman. And I think that, you know, it certainly helps Calvin Benjamin.
Yeah, that is probably the case. It probably, I mean, what do you think it does with Shady McCoy? Shady McCoy, one of those running backs who underperformed in week one. You think McCoy gets back on the good foot? Or is it because Allen's starting? Are these Chargers going to put all 53 men in the box to try to stop Shady?
Here's the thing about the NFL. It's, you know, we talk about overreaction to 1 week. It's guys will come out in week one and they'll play terrible. You know, then football's a game of adrenaline, a game of emotion. We lock the locker room doors. We say nobody believes in us. It's us against the world. Gets guys fired up. And then you come out and you see some surprises in week two if you're just leaning on week one. So it would not shock me at all to see the Buffalo Bills and Shady to have a good game this week. Because, you know, that's just how the NFL is. It's not the same last week as it is this week. You can't judge everything on just the season opener. And you know that LeSean McCoy is a quality running back.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the overreaction theater that happens in week one, or the recency bias that the casual fan does on a week-to-week basis, definitely is interesting. You know, when we talk about the betting lines and stuff, Scott, there's something that I call the Close Your Eyes Special. Okay, Scott, can I tell you about the Close Your Eyes Special? This is a tried and true trend in gambling. I'll pull the numbers from it over the last, you know, whatever, 5 years or something. When a team underperforms the point spread by over 21 points, which the Bills did last week, okay? So they were whatever they were. You know, let's say they were 6 point, they were like 8 point underdogs last week, right? And they lost by like 44. So there was 8 points. You add the 21, they still underperformed that. I call it the Close Your Eyes Special because regardless of it, the next week you just close your eyes and you bet on them because of some of what you're talking about, Scott, this like back and forth nature of the NFL that they will step up and at least have some pride kind of thing. And here's the thing, the Bills are at home, their home opener. They're facing a Chargers team who's flying from the West Coast to the East for that 1 o'clock start, and they are a home 7.5 point underdog. I'm thinking about applying this logic and actually betting the Bills plus 7.5 for week two. I think that line is even going to grow. You're saying you wouldn't be shocked if they came out and did all right. Are you taking the Bills or the Chargers this week, Scotty? Right now, the Bills are 7.5 point home underdogs.
Give me the Bills because nobody's expecting it.
And, exactly.
You know, they're at home. It's their opener.
Yep.
Like we're talking about McCoy. You know, like we're talking about McCoy, you need the running back to take pressure off the young quarterback. I don't think Buffalo's secondary is as bad as it looked last week.
Right.
Because they were on the field. That's actually a pretty good secondary. So, you know, as much as I like Keenan Allen and Philip Rivers this week, I could see Rivers throwing 3 touchdown passes this week and Allen going for like 150 yards and a touchdown. Yep. The Bills are going to stay in that game. They're going to score some points.
Yep, I agree with you. I ultimately think the Chargers will win the game, but I wouldn't lay 7.5 points against the Bills in their home opener when the people are going through tables. More quarterback news here. Scotty, we thought this was going to be the case, and Doug Peterson came out and said it yesterday. It will be Nick Foles once again under center for the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles. They are at Tampa Bay. I want to, you know, Scott, I got to tell you something. I think this game has the potential to be a sneaky high-scoring game. I got to tell you. First of all, with Foles, we know he defecated the mattress all preseason, didn't look great in week one. But the Tampa Bay Bucs have some injuries in their secondary. I believe Hargraves was sent to the IR.
Yeah, he's out for
thin. They are thin in the back end. And you also saw what Ryan Fitzpatrick did last week. I'm not saying he's going to put up 48 points every week, but I do think he's going to be, you know, apt to just throw it up there, 50-50 balls for guys like Mike Evans. I think they're going to work in Godwin a lot as well this week with D-Jax out. I think this has a sneaky high-scoring potential. I wouldn't mind finding some DFS gold in this game. What do you think about Foles getting the start again at Tampa Bay and my idea that this may be an off-the-radar high-scoring game this week?
I don't know if it is because I think what the Eagles want to do is play some ball control and take pressure off the quarterback schematically. So I think there's going to be a Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles kind of game because they really don't have the receivers there, even though they're facing a very good matchup. So I think you know you'll see Sproles catching passes out of the backfield. You'll see Aguilar getting his, but you know and Ertz should have a bounce back game. I think it'd be moderately high scoring, but not as much as last week because Philadelphia has a really good defense, and this is going to be a tougher draw for Ryan Fitzpatrick, too.
All right. I hear that. We've been talking about how Jay Ajayi may, in fact, get more carries as the season goes along. I guess specifically, you know, I was starting to build some DFS lineups this week, Scotty, and I have shares of both Nelson Agholor and Chris Godwin from this game. Both of them pretty low priced, only 6,100 on FanDuel, which is kind of like under the, I guess, the median line, shall we say. And I think both of those guys can actually have nice games this week.
Yeah, I think so. I think less for Godwin, even though we might not see
even without Deshaun Jackson,
because you know I believe this is a pretty tough defense here, and you know this is a tough draw for those receivers as well.
Interesting. The reason I liked Godwin, and then we'll move on, Scotty, is this idea that, you know, okay, Darby is their number one cornerback. He's going to be with Mike Evans. Teams have been attacking Jalen Mills, their number two cornerback, for a while now, and I think that's the matchup that Godwin draws. That's why I kind of think he's going to be having a decent game.
Yeah, that's fair, and I like Chris Godwin. I like Chris Godwin anyway, but
yeah.
You know, I think he's just outside of my top 36.
Gotcha.
My lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com.
All right, we'll
I can't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick to have two good games in a row, especially against the defending Super Bowl champs. I can't trust it.
That's fair, but
it's volatile to me. I'm not saying what you're saying can't happen.
Right.
It's just to me. It's still a risk with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback. For all we know, he threw four touchdowns last week. He could throw four interceptions this week.
No, I mean, that's true. You know, you talk about it being a risk. You talk about it being – I don't want to put words in your mouth, Scott, but you talk about it being something of a informed risk, though, that you're taking. And
exactly.
That's, to be honest, that's exactly what you have to do in these tournaments playing DFS, though, right, Scott? I mean, you have to take some informed risks and then hope they pop off if you actually want to win cash in DFS, all right?
So, right. For seasonal, it's an informed risk for DFS. For every reason you said, you know, why not go for it? You have to take risks in DFS. Otherwise, you're not going to win, you know, especially if you're playing in tournaments.
Yeah, I'm talking about a GPP lineup, and sometimes you got to take a swing and hit. I always say this all the time, Scott. I always make the analogy, like when you're filling out your March Madness bracket pools, you have to pick some 12s and 11 seeds to win, right?
I'll take your word for that because I've never played a pool in my life.
Fair enough, but you understand conceptually, right? You just bet all the one seeds
course.
All the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the chalk. It ain't going to work. You got to pick some upsets and get them right. Hey, also, it looks like Marcus Mariota is going to be good to go for the Tennessee Titans in week two. Odd week one game, though, Scotty. I got to tell you something. The Titans were a team. I told you I was high on them. Our boy Mike Blewett is also high on them. I know you think elsewhere in the AFC South. We are well documented on that. But let me ask you this, Scott. I mean, I'm not trying to make necessarily excuses for the Titans, but now I'm going to start making excuses. That was just a very odd game for Tennessee. In week one, you know, they had the two weather delays. There were two kickoff returns for a touchdown. You know, Mariota, their starting quarterback, goes down in the middle of that game. You know, I just think that, they maybe get back on the good foot a little bit in their home opener, welcoming in a division rival. I think it's a more normal game for Tennessee. I think we'll see a better representation of what they really are. The other person I want to ask you about in this game, we know Delanie Walker is out, right, for the rest of the season. I think that this means a bigger boost. Another guy I have in my DFS lineup is Deion Lewis. Scotty, I think, you know, where are these targets going to go now, especially if Mariota is going to be a little bit safe? You know, there's Corey Davis, but I expect bigger things out of Deion Lewis out of the backfield now for Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, they gave him a lot of work, and especially if they're going to play catch-up as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good matchup for them. It is a divisional game, so it could be less predictable. I don't think it was a weird game last week. I think just Mariota played badly. You know, they didn't play well. He looked like the same disappointing Mariota of last year. Put the defense on the field for too much, and this is not another good matchup for them. I think Houston's going to get things right. You know, it was a very tough draw for them against New England, but I think they're going to spend, you know, the rest of the season getting things right here. And, you know, their defense is just – that's going to be too much for the Tennessee offense. So, again, they're going to be playing from behind, so I think Deion Lewis is going to be a good play. Derrick Henry did not play well. Marcus Mariota did not play well. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything really to threaten what is. Look, I've been putting Miami down, and I don't think they're a very good team, but if there's one strength in that ball club, that's a very good secondary, and they didn't have a receiving crew to threaten that secondary. Now, you flip to this week. This is a worse secondary. Houston's strength is all up front. And, but Tennessee's got a pretty good offensive line. Mm-hmm. So I think they could stay in the game, but I could see it being like 14-3 at halftime.
No, I hear you. What you're talking about is kind of strength versus strength. The Texans front seven and the Titans offensive line and almost weakness against weakness, right? The Texans secondary is nothing to write home about, but it's not like the Titans can threaten that maybe outside of Corey Davis. So then you look to a guy like Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis outtouched Henry 21-11 last week. And it sounds like, Scott, you expect a game flow that leans a little bit more towards Deion Lewis. Maybe another reason that Lewis could be an interesting DFS play this week, Scotty, right now
Deion Lewis is the best player on that offense.
Yep, that's why I have shares of him, and that's why I was telling people all off season that I like Deion Lewis. I have him in some leagues, hopefully that continues. Hey, Scotty, Wednesday is the first day where there's some practice reports. A lot of people get that DNP distinction. But, Scotty, here's the thing. With some veterans, we'll go through them in a second, but isn't it true, Scotty, that especially with veterans, you're going to see a DNP on Wednesday a lot as teams are just kind of managing their reps so that they're good to go for the weekend?
Yeah, you can see that. Leonard Fournette is the big one. They said they're going to try to get him some work in practice on Friday. So it's hard to tell with some of these guys. Some of them were just held out as precautions on Wednesday. You'll know more by Friday.
Absolutely. And Friday is also tomorrow when we are going to talk to our guy, Dr. A, from Inside Injuries. So we'll have some of these same names that we're going to bounce off of him and get the expert medical opinion. You talk about Leonard Fournette being the big one. Scotty, I have him, to be honest, as the second biggest one. Don't forget about Aaron Rodgers, who did not practice yesterday, okay? And here's the thing. For me, Scott, and I know you may not agree with this, they've got those Minnesota Vikings this week. That's the team that kind of broke him last year. That's a tough divisional matchup. I know Aaron Rodgers would never go for it, but I think maybe the prudent decision is to hold him out this week and give him an extra week to kind of rest up. Then you're also not showing your division rival anything, that sort of thing. And because Minnesota is a physical defense, I think there is risk there. I know Aaron Rodgers would never go for it. I know it's unconventional, but I think it's a prudent decision to give Aaron Rodgers a little bit more time to rest this week.
Yeah, I got to disagree with that for two reasons. Number one, it's a medical decision, not a decision about what the matchup is. Secondly, mm-hmm. the Packers have no chance of winning that game without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I personally think it's more like lose the battle to win the war.
There is no front office or coaching staff in the NFL that says we're going to take a loss. And just sit our guy. It's a medical decision. Mm-hmm. It's more of internally, I got to think that they'd be thinking, we hope the medical reports are good because we have to play him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right, Scott. I completely agree with you. You're right. That's not what teams would do. I almost wonder about this, lose the battle to win the war kind of thing. We'll come back and talk about more of these on the other side of the break. Aaron Rodgers didn't practice. Leonard Fournette didn't practice. There's more, though. Davante Adams, Devontae Freeman, Deshaun Jackson, Rex Burkhead, both wide receivers in New Orleans, Michael Thomas and Teddy Ginn, Marquise Goodwin. All of these guys did not practice today or yesterday. We'll ask Scott, which of these matter most to him, and then we'll also spin it forward to what that means for his week two running. If you want to join the show, the number to call is 844-843-6879. We'll also look at Scott's week two ranks when we come back. Dane and Scott, Roto experts in the morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. No diggity. There is no doubt. We give you what you need to win your leagues and win that cash. Come on right back.
There's only one place to listen to the best fantasy advice, and that's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. By downloading the FNTSY Radio Network app, you'll be blessed with having the top fantasy experts right in your pocket. You'll get award-winning and entertaining programs like The Roto Experts.
Let's cock-a-doodle-do it.
Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Yo!
Carton and Friends.
Yeah, buddy!
And so much more.
You feel what I'm saying?
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app now and take the most trusted fantasy experts with you wherever you go.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We got the King Scott Angle beatboxing in the background. I am merely the spitting statistician trying to help you win your leagues and win that cash. Remember, the number to call if you want to join the fun is 844-843-6879. I also got to let people know, we're talking about bets. I told you about my Close Your Eyes special. If you want to make a little bit of extra cash, go on over to BetDSI. They're celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI. Hundreds of different wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events. You can make your play at any time during the game. Use the promo code FNTSY because BetDSI is giving up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. Head on over there and start winning today. Enter the promo code FNTSY and check it out. That's BetDSI.com. All right, Scotty, I reeled off some guys who did not practice who are definitely on fantasy rosters, maybe even fantasy starters for teams out there. We talked about Leonard Fournette. This is going to be kind of a game time decision kind of thing. They said he could even not practice all week and then get in there against New England. In that scenario, Scott, where he doesn't practice, but they say he's good to go at 11:30 a.m. or whatever it is when the inactives come out, how are you treating T.J. Yeldon? Because, you know, we talked about some guys earlier this week, you know, guys like Austin Eckler, who are handcuffs that may have standalone value on their own. You know, like, could Yeldon fit that mold even if Fournette is active? Because, you know, he's kind of banged up, and you know they may need to try to be multiple against the Patriots. Do you think Yeldon still has a role?
Fortunately, we're not in a situation where we're in bye weeks yet. So right. I don't think you have to sweat this. If Fournette plays, you don't know what Yeldon's role is. So you probably have somebody else with more of a defined role or more upside. So I would just leave him on the bench.
Even if he's like a game time decision where you think that Fournette may play but won't get the full complement of touches or snaps that he's used to?
Like I just said, you know, if he plays, you don't know what his role is going to be. You know what the role is going to be for either back. So
right.
It's really dicey. And, you know, there are no other running backs out there that are really listed as questionable in a major way, in a significant sort of way. So I always say when you're in doubt, go with the healthy guy.
Okay, so let me apply this to the situation against the team they're facing in New England. Rex Burkhead is in the concussion protocol now, and it's a kind of new thing that we hear about on Wednesday. I don't know if he's going to get cleared. Sony Michel is kind of like working his way back, was limited in practice, and then there's James White still there. How do you play out this Patriots backfield if not, you know, dealing with Rex Burkhead?
Well, I think we should know in advance of Sunday whether Rex Burkhead is going to be cleared or not. You know, and if he's there, you play him in your flex. If he's not, you don't. And okay. I can't see Sony Michel playing much of a role here. And it's a tough matchup anyway. So in a lot of cases, you know, if you have any doubt, you sit Burkhead.
Okay, fair enough. So you're sitting Burkhead. You mentioned that there is not many running backs that are in this situation that you're going to go back and forth on. I found one more, and it's in Atlanta with Devontae Freeman. Scotty, the Atlanta Falcons are in their home opener facing a division matchup with the Carolina Panthers. They are six-point favorites. Freeman, you know, going into the season, people were concerned about him with the head injuries, right? But they say he's got a knee as well. Okay, Tevin Coleman is someone who does kind of have standalone value potentially as a flex play, let's say, regardless of Freeman. So what happens now if Freeman is less than 100%?
Then I think you have to like Coleman. Coleman is a flex. But, you know, in Freeman's favor, though, you know, he did play a Thursday night game in the opener, so he's got a lot of time to heal. We'll have to wait and see. You know, these situations are not ones where you want to make a prediction of whether to start and sit unless you have a running back in tonight's game. You know, if you're thinking like Alex Collins versus Devonta Freeman,
Freeman
or Alex Collins versus Tevin Coleman, you just take Alex Collins. Fortunately, you know, I think you're still a day away at least from having to make these type of decisions.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. It is the Thursday night teams that would force your hand, right? If you have Joe Mixon, you're definitely starting him. Alex Collins, you may have one of these guys a little bit ranked higher slightly, and that's where the decision comes in. Scotty, we got a caller. We got Brian in Florida who wants to join us as we put the fun in functional sports radio. We'll take his call, and then we'll pivot over to your week two ranks. But Brian in Florida joins us. Brian in Florida joins us now. First up, what's going on, Brian? How can we help you out, win your leagues and win that cash?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I got a question, actually, just you guys were talking about Fournette and T.J. Yeldon. And just wondering, I have Fournette and a guy swapped up Yeldon. I didn't see Fournette was hurt, so... just wondering, what is Chris Carson too much to give up for Yeldon right now?
I don't know if I would do that because at least Carson is the defined starter there. You know, TJ Yeldon might only be the starter for a week, whereas you're talking with Chris Carson, you know, he could have the job for several weeks. When you're making trades, you either look to fill a need or you make a significant upgrade. You don't upgrade yourself at all by picking up TJ Yeldon for Chris Carson. It's just about a wash to me.
But, Scott, okay. I guess the only consideration, though, is if he's a Fournette owner, maybe it is filling the need of getting that handcuff to his stud.
It is, but then you end up in a situation this Sunday where if he's a game-time decision, you don't know who to start. You know, if you have Carson, you just say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll pop Carson in.
Good point. Yeah, for sure. Got one more question for you guys on a trade. A guy just offered me Devonta Freeman for Fournette. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Both those backs are kind of banged up, and I like Fournette better when he's healthy.
I'm with Scott on this one. It's a clean sweep. There you go, Brian. Anytime, holler at us. We got another phone call. It's our boy Kenny in Philly, friend of the show. Hey, Kenny, how you doing, man? You're back on Roto Experts in the morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Scotty, Dane. How y'all doing this morning, fellas?
Hanging in there,
what's
brother,
up,
man.
Hey, Dane, man, you're stealing all my joy here, man. You're taking all my guys here for DFS, especially.
You know, well, that's a good thing. We're on the same page, brother, man. I cashed week one. I put up like one high 160s, low 170s, so I cashed. So it's a good thing if we're on the same page.
Me too. I actually won a couple $100 in the millionaire maker, actually. And, you know, week one is a week of outrage, and no one's going to go back to the players that put up duds. Like, specifically, my guy, LeSean McCoy, plays better at home. He's definitely going to have a better game this week than the 1.2 points he got or whatever he got last week. Yeah. I'm all over him. I'm actually all over Watkins and Hopkins as well. They're going to Tennessee. You know, week one, he played the Patriots, and actually, Hopkins probably be lined up with Butler again. Which that game, of course, he had a good game last year versus him when he was with the Patriots. I'm all over Minnesota playing Aaron Rodgers. I beat up Aaron Rodgers sort of. So you know that's all. Also, Scotty, I'm glad to see you coming around to the Deion Lewis talk. Me and Dane told you that Tennessee's not going to give what's the name the keys, man.
Henry, the keys to the car. Tell him, Kenny.
Come around. I was talking about him all off-season on RotoX.
Tell him, Kenny.
Kenny's wrong. I was with you guys. I didn't come around to nothing.
You were much more hired on the other gentleman. I'm sorry. And
I think you're thinking about somebody else. You listen to every show on this network to the point where
Tell him, Kenny. It was
tell me what I was with you guys. It's documented on Roto Experts. Go look it up.
Also, James White is the only guy that actually has a role. I definitely agree with you guys there. I mean, in the New England backfield. So, as far as that, oh yeah, what about you got Case Keenum there? Scotty, what do you think about him?
I like him this week, obviously against Oakland. Good DFS play. In seasonal leagues, though, you probably have a better starter than him. You know, I can't start him based on the matchup. It's like I'm not going to start Case Keenum over Tom Brady. You know, he's ranked 14th for me just because the quarterback position is so deep. I do like him, but he just doesn't cut my top 12 just because who's ahead of him.
Right. I like Godwin versus the Eagles. So I do have one season-long question. Now, I mean, I'll let you guys go. And for my RB2 here, I'm kind of struggling with this one. Got Carlos Hyde versus my Saints or Deion Lewis?
Well, what, you know, I think you should come around to like where
you got
to
come around to Deion
Lewis,
Kenny.
Where Dane and I are, and you
me
know,
and Scott have been on
Deion
Lewis.
Lewis
all time.
You know, we've been talking about this guy for a long time. You should come around and start him.
I love you guys, man. I love you guys, man.
Hey, Kenny, if it's PPR format, you got to go with Deion Lewis, man.
Okay, no problem. All right, fellas, thank you. Have a good day, y'all.
Anytime. You have a great day as well. Kenny joins the show, friend of the show. Hey, Scotty, we were talking about he asked about Case Keenum. You have Case Keenum as number quarterback 14 in your ranks this week going up against Oakland. I wanted to ask you, you have him one spot ahead of a guy that I'm a little bit intrigued by, and that's Alex Smith, okay? Washington offense looked good on the road in Arizona week one. They come back home. That's not what it's about for me. What it's about for me is they're facing this Indianapolis Colts pass defense. I think Alex Smith, a game manager against that Colts defense, could actually outperform his kind of ranking this week. Why is it that you're higher than the expert consensus on Keenum and a little bit lower than the expert consensus on Alex Smith as I look at your week two rankings in the Roto Experts exclusive in-season package? Don't forget, enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. Why you got Keenum over Alex Smith this week, Scott?
Well, I obviously love the matchup against Oakland. He threw three touchdown passes against a more opportunistic Seattle defense last week, even though they have holes. I'm fine with Alex Smith. It's just the other 14 guys, you know, I like ahead of him. It's not that I don't like Alex Smith. I think he can be steady and sometimes spectacular. It's just it's a question of the quarterback position being so deep as it is.
All right, fair enough. Scotty, as I look at some of your other quarterback ranks, two other guys I want to mention are, you know, you are higher than most on TB12 this week. Tom Brady, you have him as number four. I think the industry kind of automatically says, oh, they're facing Jacksonville, got to downgrade them. You made the point last week, I think as it related to Odell Beckham, who still went for something like 11 for 111, even facing Jalen Ramsey a lot of the time, that you don't just do these things kind of automatically. You are still riding with Tom Brady, despite the fact that he's facing that cat scratch fever and the Jacksonville defense down in Jacksonville in their home opener.
Look, it's like I said last week. It's, you know, the defense doesn't always win the matchup by default. And Brady is an NFL superstar and a fantasy superstar, as much as you would hate to hear that, Dane. You know, and he became a superstar because in these type of matchups, he can still produce the numbers.
All right, so we're still riding out Tom Brady with confidence. We talked about it a little bit before the show here, Scotty. Last guy I want to get into in the quarterback ranks, all the way up at number one, you have Dangerous Russell Wilson on the road in Chicago on Monday Night Football against what looked like an improved defense, although Mr. Fuller couldn't catch an interception, which would have got them the win in week one. You have Russell Wilson all the way up at number one. Scotty, I don't think he's going to finish inside the top five this week. Why do you like Russell so much, besides the obvious?
Number one quarterback in fantasy football last year and still the crux of that offense and the guy that has to make that offense go, threw three touchdown passes last week against a better defense in the Denver Broncos, and Aaron Rodgers had three touchdown passes of his own last week against the Bears. So, you know, I believe guys like Russell Wilson and Tom Brady are matchup proof.
Absolutely. Scott has Russell Wilson all the way up at the top. I tell you, I don't think he's going to be a top five quarterback this week, but that's why they play the games. We'll refer back to it a little bit later on. But I'll tell you what, you know, hey, the King has been doing this for a long time. I'm merely the spitting statistician. I get things right, though, too, sometimes. So we'll double back and check on that. Another quarterback that I think is interesting here, Scotty, is Deshaun Watson. Okay. You know, you're lower than the consensus on him. I know you like the Houston Texans. I believe you have them going all the way to the Super Bowl, if not winning it, but you have downgraded Deshaun Watson. You have him as QB 11 going up against the Tennessee Titans. Why are you lower than the industry on Deshaun Watson? Is it the completion percentage? Is it the Titans secondary with Ryan and Butler? Is it that offensive line that I'm a little bit concerned about? Or are you saying, nah, he's still fine. I'm just, you know, relatively speaking, downgrading him. You have him as
11, which still is technically a starting quarterback for fantasy.
Yeah, he's still a QB1, but you know, didn't quite look like the top four guy that we thought last week. And this week is a test for him because last week he just looked for the big play and didn't throw high percentage passes. Can he get back to doing that this week? There's a divisional game with an opponent that studied a lot of film on him with a very good secondary. So, you know, he's got to show something this week. This is a pivotal week, I think, for Deshaun Watson, and we have to wait and see how he responds. I wouldn't bench him necessarily, but I'm not playing him in daily.
Yeah, and here's the thing I want to ask you about, because I know, listen, everybody was so – the hype train on Deshaun Watson was almost as big as it was on Jimmy Garoppolo in this offseason, right? And I was saying, like, listen, he played 6 or 7 games, and the Texans went 3-3 in his 6 starts. Everybody was assuming that all of a sudden Deshaun Watson was going to be the second coming. And I got to tell you the truth, Scott, this preseason in week 1 – it looked like he regressed a little bit. You know, if he's going to run around trying making home run plays, that's not always going to work, even for the supreme athlete that is Deshaun Watson. So here is my question, Scotty. What we saw week 1, less than 50% completion percentage. You said this is a test this week against a decent secondary divisional matchup on the road. I mean, it took 6 games for everybody to start falling in love with Deshaun Watson, thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. What? How many... Let's say he doesn't do well this week. Let's say he's just an average quarterback next week. At what point do we start to recalibrate what we believe Deshaun Watson is?
I think if he plays like 4 bad games in a row, 3-4 bad games in a row, was starting to rethink things. And you know, looking at his game log last year, you look at the 1-loss record, and that's more of a reflection of the team than the quarterback. I think overall, you know, he had a lot of injuries last year. But, you know, as far as like, you know, when people started to fall in love with him last year, I think it was like, what was his second or third start at Seattle when that defense was still highly regarded. So, well, actually, that came in week 8. So, yeah, you're right.
But here's the thing, like, you know, I mean, how long will it take for people to kind of unlearn what they saw and really remember he's a second-year quarterback? He's played 6 or 7 NFL games. You know, like, it's not like he has a long track record.
The numbers were so overwhelmingly impressive, though, you know, in a small sample size. You know, week 4
same with Jimmy Garoppolo
last year, four touchdown passes, 1 interception, 5 touchdown passes against Kansas City, and then the game at Seattle, 4 touchdown passes, which really made people stamp him, you know, as a guy that they really, really like. And I'm not even mentioning the rushing totals. That game against Tennessee, he also had a rushing score. So, you know, it was so over the top.
Yeah, it was. You know, we'll see what he does in his sophomore season. When we come back, Scotty, we got more ranks to talk to. We'll look at some wide receivers, some running backs, and tight ends that you are higher or lower on in the industry. We'll find out why. It's Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty, I feel like I'm refereeing a long-distance relationship or a long-term marriage. You hear Corey Parson there on the promo there with the frenzy, comparing what you and our guy Jacob DeGrom have in common?
Yeah, you know, he's resorting to stuff like that because he got beat by 65.
Fair enough. Let's keep it moving, though, and give the people what they need in order to win their leagues and win that cash. Scotty, I'm looking at your week 2 rankings, which you can find on the Roto Experts exclusive in-game fantasy football package. Before we get into that, though, remember, Scotty, unfortunately, I'm the only person left standing in our Survivor contest after week 1. But Fantasy Factor is running free rolls of Survivor contests, and you got to go check it out. Okay, they are the only DFS site with exclusive single-entry contests. It's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues, flatter prize pools. They have great free promos like Survivor, hoping you listen to me in week one, Super Bowl squares, March Madness pools. Sign up today. Go on over to fantasyfactor.com. That is fantasyfactor.com. Scotty, as I look at some of the running back ranks that you have up, you know, a lot of the top guys you're the same on, only, you know, off by one or two with the consensus, so we don't want to split hairs there. A couple of names that I do think that you are higher on than most that I want to talk about. One is Chris Thompson. You have him as RB15 in PPR settings. Listen, on the plus side, they're going up against that Indianapolis Colts pass defense. Right, so I understand that. I want to bring up another factor, though, that I don't know if you consider or how much weight you put into it. This Washington Colts game on Sunday, they are saying is probably going to be impacted by Hurricane Florence that is bearing down on the East Coast, and we want to give all our best wishes to our people there on the Atlantic seaboard, the Carolinas, Virginia, other any place that's in the storm path. Be safe out there. We saw what happened last year in hurricane season. But what about the potential for incredibly inclement weather in our nation's capital in this game?
We can't overreact for two reasons. Number one, we saw that with Pittsburgh last week, and it really didn't affect things in a major way. They affected things in a minor way. Secondly, the game could be rescheduled to the point where it doesn't adversely affect the statistics, so it's way too early to speculate on any weather concerns. Fantasy players get all bent out of shape about weather, and very often it turns out not to be a concern. And even when we're going later in the season, people worry about certain players in the snow. It's even better for the running backs because
they know where they're going.
The defensive players have to react, and they're the ones who are out of position, et cetera, and they're the ones who often slip and miss things. It's kind of an advantage for the offense in the snow in certain ways.
Yep,
it depends
I hear
on
you
what
on
the
that.
Weather is. It's what
I think
the weather
snow,
is.
I agree with you.
Yeah, with wind gusts, if you're looking at anything above like 15 miles an hour, 18 miles an hour, you start getting concerned.
Yeah, that was my point. I hear you on the snow because the offensive player knows where they're going. The defensive player does not. I think it's like wind. That's the biggest thing. And, when I see hurricane, I think wind, Scotty. So we'll keep an eye out on that, but don't overemphasize it too much. A couple of other backs that you like here, Isaiah Crowell, you're nine spots higher on. You believe in Philip Lindsay to maybe repeat that. You have him as RB30 in your PPR rank, so definitively an RB3 or a flex play. And you're also high on Kerryon Johnson, Kerryon my wayward son. You have them as 30 and 31. Talk about these guys. What makes it that you're a little bit higher on Crowell, KJ, and Lindsay than the consensus?
I'm not overly high on them. When you have the guys at the number 30 spot, you're talking flex and RB3, so that's not overly high. It's a relative thing where I just have less confidence in some of the guys that are behind them. But you look at Kerryon Johnson, I do kind of like him because I think it'd be smart of the Lions to give him more carries and take pressure off the quarterback. I think you have to like Lindsay to a degree because he's facing Oakland.
Yep, no, I hear you. With these guys, though, I understand what you're talking about, but we're talking about running backs 30, 31, and even 32. Alfred Morris, you're higher on. But in that range, like, let's say you're number 30, right? That's a flex play. And if you're if you're 10 spots higher than the industry, then the industry has him as on the bench. You have him as in the lineup. So that is a kind of distinction. That's why I look at the guys in this area, because you are saying that they're startable, whereas others are saying that they should be on the bench. That is a definitive line.
Well, you look behind him, I have Jamal Williams at 36. It's like -9. You're talking about a very, very tough matchup, against Minnesota on a pass-first offense. So, to me, Jamal Williams is just about on the bench. And, I'm three spots lower on Derrick Henry. What did he show last week? I can't move T.J. Yeldon up until I know what the news is. And, Matt Breed, I'm three spots lower. What did he show us yet? Nothing. I'm one spot lower on Austin Ekeler. That's not too much. But I'm -20 on Rex Burkhead because I don't know if he's going to play.
He's going to play. Right. He's got to get cleared from the concussion protocol first, obviously. As we go to wide receivers, I'm looking at that same line, right? You know, kind of the low wide receiver threes. This and I look at your wide receiver number 31 and 32, and I'm intrigued by this. Okay, Scotty, first of all, wide receiver 32 for you is Mike Williams. All right, so you have him as a starter in three wide receiver leagues, which I think a lot of formats are. You have him as a starting wide receiver three for you. We just thought at the top of the show, you talked about how the Buffalo Bills secondary was not that bad, and you can see the Bills hanging in this game. The industry has him as wide receiver 47. You has him in your starting lineups as wide receiver 32. Why are you still having faith in Mike Williams?
Like five catches for 81 yards, and we already know the legend of him being a red zone threat. No matter what the matchup is, you know, I think Mike Williams is on the come as the real number two wide receiver that the Chargers have long searched for.
Okay, and the other guy, as far as a real number two receiver that I want to talk about, we look at our Detroit Lions. You are far lower on Marvin Jones. You have him as PPR number 35, but then you have Kenny Golladay as PPR wide receiver 28. So you would put in Golladay over Marvin Jones. You know I agree with you, and you know I just did all this to frame so that you could go, Golladay. Would it be so nice to start our boy Kenny Golladay this week at San Francisco?
You can celebrate. And look, I said I predicted it was going to happen in the preseason that Kenny Golladay was going to take a step forward and that it was going to affect Marvin Jones more than anything. I think he's just a more complete receiver than Marvin Jones, and as he progresses, he'll just be a better NFL player.
Yep, that is probably the case. I believe in Kenny Golladay as well. One other guy that you're higher on that you would pretty much put in starting lineups or right in the fringe depending on your settings is Cole Beasley. You have Cole Beasley as wide receiver 37, which is right there on the fringe, Sunday Night Football against the Giants, maybe against Eli Apple. Are you just saying this because you know you think Cole Beasley is, if anybody else is the main target for the Cowboys?
Look, seven catches the first week, 75 catches 2 weeks ago. Dak Prescott is more comfortable with him than anybody else. They should be able to move the ball a little bit better against the Giants this week.
All right, one last Fugazi to get your thoughts on. Actually, three in a row, Scotty. There are three in a row, guys, that you have wide receiver 40, 41, 42, so definitively on your bench, whereas the industry has them as wide receiver twos and threes. I'm talking about Corey Davis in Tennessee, Amari Cooper in Oakland, and Randall Cobb in Green Bay. Cobb is going up against that Minnesota secondary, and we know his quarterback may be banged up. Corey Davis, we've already talked about a different kind of matchup, but I don't know. With Corey Davis, he might be the primary, you know, weapon. We talked about Deion Lewis, but as far as the wide receiver core and Amari Cooper, it just seems like you know, a lot of stuff going on with Amari Cooper. Even Gruden saying it's going to be harder to get him going moving forward, and they see the Denver Broncos secondary. Why are you down on Davis, Cooper, and Cobb at the wide receiver position?
When you look at my lineup ranks right now on rotoexperts.com, remember the seasonal ranks. Now, Corey Davis does have a good matchup against Houston. So if you're playing against that secondary, the problem with Corey Davis is we haven't seen him do anything yet to expect him to take advantage of a good matchup. That's the problem. So that's the problem in seasonal. You want to roll him out there in daily, it's daring, and I'm okay with it. But these are seasonal ranks. Far as Amari Cooper, you know, this is just as good, if, you know, not as the secondary that he faced last week when he caught one ball for 9 yards. You know, he's facing Denver. You know, they have terrific corners. And with Randall Cobb, it's like you said, you know, you don't know with Aaron Rodgers, and they're facing Minnesota.
All right, let's look on over at tight end real quick with the time that we have left before we transition over to fantasy sports today. I'm looking at tight ends that you are either higher or lower on in the industry. And to be honest, Scott, there's in the top kind of starters, right, in the top 12 or so, there's none that you are much further down on than others, but one guy I do want to ask you about is Ricky Seals-Jones. You are a little bit higher on him than others. He does threaten kind of in that streaming conversation. Now, here's my kind of layman's logic, right? And sometimes I know you think that I go a little bit too far with the narratives, right? But I go back to last week, and the Oakland Raiders against these Los Angeles Rams. And we've talked about the Rams. We've talked about the Rams as having great corners, a great secondary, and a great pass rush up front, up the middle, but that their linebacking core leaves something to be desired. When the Oakland Raiders faced them on Monday night, that means their wide receivers didn't do so great, but Jared Cook went off, right? Jared Cook over 100 yards. So the question is, if maybe the tight end is the way to attack the Los Angeles Rams. And then I apply that logic. It's the Arizona Cardinals facing the Rams this week in a divisional matchup. And so I look at their tight end. That's Ricky Seals-Jones. Is that part of your thinking, maybe liking the tight end against the Rams because their cornerbacks are going to have good blanket coverage on the wide receivers? You are 4 points higher on RSJ than the consensus ranks.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they could look at the film and, you know, see that as well. And Ricky Seals-Jones, like Jared Cook, is a very big tight end with some quickness.
Okay, so you would be okay, comfortable starting Ricky Seals-Jones. Let's end
it up
real quick.
He is 15, so it depends on who else you have.
Right, it depends, but he's on that fringe for you, shall we say. He is on that fringe for you and an option that you just believe in a little bit more than others. I'm with you, Scotty. I believe in them as well. Real quick, though, Scotty, I want to look at some defenses because people may be streaming defenses. People may be – first of all, let me ask you this. I want to ask you about the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints were a defense – that, you know, a lot of people were high on coming in. You know, they made a big step forward. I was talking about the variance of defenses from year to year. But I know some people also were very excited by the early season schedule for the Saints. If they were going to be streaming defenses, they were like, oh, they're home for Tampa Bay without Jameis. And then they're home for Cleveland in the first 2 weeks. Now, if you had that strategy, then the Saints defense blew up for you, didn't help you in week one. It looks like, Scotty, you have them as defense 14. It looks like you're hopping off them even back at home in the dome against Cleveland. Why is that?
Well, Cleveland's not a pushover offensively, okay. Number one. You have a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes either. We all know that about Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, and I think this is a proving ground for the Saints defense that, you know, I got to lay back in here and wait and see how they perform before I put them back in my top 12.
Got you. It's a wait and see. Kenny and Philly, though, don't worry about it. I expect the Saints to bounce back. Maybe not defensively necessarily, but I am picking the Saints as my survivor pick this week. We'll do our official survivor picks. We'll do our official game picks against the spread. We're picking three. We'll do those tomorrow on the show, Scotty. You're also high this week if you're looking for defenses to potentially target for streaming purposes. You like the Houston Texans on the road in a division matchup against Tennessee. Obviously, you like the Jaguars, even against the New England Patriots. You have them as defense number five. But then the Jets. The Jets are a defense that you have inside your top 10, whereas the consensus has them 15. I don't know if they know the play calls like they did against Matthew Stafford last week, but let me tell you something. They look physical. They were getting pressure, and they were flying all over the field. I like this as well in a home opener against an offense that I don't think is anything to be scared of in Miami.
Yeah, like we saw with the Saints and the Bucs. You never can tell how a divisional game is going to play. But, you know, the Jets, you know, they have a, like you say, they have a very aggressive team. And on defense, they fly around the field. And they have, you know, some good safeties there. The defensive line got a nice push. And, you know, I think this could be a lower scoring game this week. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, I could see him making a turnover or two. The Jets also have Andre Roberts on special teams. Now, when
returning
you talk
kicks,
about
yeah.
defense, people talk about defense, but it's defense / special teams. And the way Andre Roberts is looking and has always looked, he's always a threat to, you know, score a touchdown on a return.
How much do you consider that, Scott? Because, like, my mind automatically then went to Tyreek Hill, right? But then the Kansas City pass defense is so bad. But then you got the potential of Tyreek Hill. He did run one back. You know, it's not a stretch to say that Tyreek Hill, you know, in four of the 16 games might get you a special teams touchdown.
Yeah, it's not something that I really consider when looking at the unit. But it's something that looks like a nice bonus sometimes. You know, it's like you're not going to take Seattle's defense this year as good as Tyler Lockett is. He's like a, you know, he's a pro. He's maybe the best, like, returner in the league. But you can't take the defense this year. Too many issues in the secondary.
All right, so maybe it's a nice little cherry on top of an already strong defense, but you're not going to all of a sudden take a bad defense and then rely on a special teams touchdown to try to make it more manageable. All right, Scotty, sounds good. Yo, Scotty, tomorrow, I'm excited for tomorrow. It's a football Friday. What we're going to do is we're going to break down what we saw in the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. We will talk to Dr. A about inside injuries. Some of these guys we talked about, the Goodwins, the Gins, the, you know, Rex Burkhead, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. We're going to be sure to get in them. And we'll make our picks along with maybe some DFS picks as well. I got the teams that I'm looking at. But before we go today, Scotty, real quick, Thursday Night Football, the Cincinnati Bengals welcome the Baltimore Ravens in an AFC North matchup. The Bengals are home underdogs by a point and a half right now. I think the recency bias is going a little bit too far. I actually think Cincinnati at home can do work in this one. How do you see this one playing out tonight, Scott?
Yeah, this is really a tough one to call, but
yeah.
You know, Cincinnati's very talented on both sides of the ball, you know, in an above average kind of way. And, you know, when they get playmakers like Mixon and Joe Thomas and Eifert is there too. You know, Baltimore is certainly playing better. This game could go either way, but you know, I think Cincinnati at home kind of tips it for me. Like you said yesterday, you know, Vegas is often going to slant towards the home team. I will as well, even if Vegas is going the other way on the line here.
Yeah, do you buy into, you know, I do lean towards the home team, especially on the short week on Thursday Night Football. Is that one of those narratives you subscribe to a little bit more, home teams on Thursday night?
I think I subscribe to sloppy and lower scoring sometimes on Thursday night more than anything.
Sounds like it. Hey, Scott, the over-under on this game is 45. Are you taking the under? Is that a better bet to you, under 45?
I'm taking the under.
Is that a better bet than either Baltimore or Cincinnati?
Yeah. I like that.
All right, fair enough. I like that as well. I have a slight lean on Cincy, but I'm with Scott. I like the under on this one. We'll talk about it all, and we'll break down injuries with Dr. A tomorrow. That's Roto Experts in the morning. Stay tuned, though. I keep it rocking with our guard Mike Blewett for Fantasy Sports Today. Come on right back. We'll see you tomorrow, Scott.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.